Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Pulse of the Pack. It is our dress rehearsal, if you will. Packers have played three preseason games. The bad news I have for you is the dream of 23-0, if you were seriously dreaming of that, is over. The Packers lost their preseason game on Saturday against the Denver Broncos by a score of 20-17. And we are here to break it down. I am here. I am your host, Jacob Westendorf. And joined with me, as always, is the late... Well, not late. Excuse me. He was on time. I was the late one. The great Jason Perrone. Jason, how are you?
Neither late nor great. If I'm late, that means I'm gone. So you need to find a new co-host. And great is never correct. There's always more to be achieved. But so to quote a very famous NFL head coach with regards to the dress rehearsal, I don't know why anybody would call it that. It baffles me. I don't understand that. I don't know why anybody would say that. It's not that at all. That's probably the worst Belichick impression you'll ever hear me do, but I'm glad I got to do one on the show. Good to be back at it, man. It's good to be back in a regular rotation and have some actual Packers football to talk about. There was some great stuff that happened today, so I'm excited. We have to try to find – I don't know how you felt, but we have to try to find a way to turn – what I thought was a lackluster preseason game into topics to discuss. You know, I mean, they do say that the third preseason game is supposed to be kind of the preparation for the regular season when starters play a little bit longer. And this one didn't do a whole lot for me. And I'm not just talking about the end result, which I really could care less about. I'm definitely not one of the 23-0 people that you were talking about.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot that happened and a lot that was, I don't know, it just felt weird. It was like the team was going through the motions, even though they knew that this was a quote-unquote dress rehearsal, even though Bill Belichick would tell you that's not the case. But, you know, the Packers offense, not as sharp, certainly a better defense this week when facing the Denver Broncos. At Mile High, as opposed to the Washington Redskins, not a good football team, or especially not a good defense in Washington. And the Broncos defense has been one of the best in football for the last 4 years or so. So I thought it was a good test. But you can see that the Packers' plan was kind of, well, I mean, I'll talk more about that as we get into the offense. First and foremost, what I want to do before we get into game stuff, today is Monday as we record. Sunday, September 3rd, is a annual happening. It is our regular season preview show. It'll air at 2 p.m. Central Time, and we will be discussing going through each game that the Packers play this year and pick whether we believe they will win or lose that game, and we'll go through the process, give you our Super Bowl champion, give you our most valuable player, give you our defensive player of the year, all those kinds of things, all the awards. And it's a really fun show and a fun exercise. Send us your questions, your comments, your concerns, or tell us if you want us to shut up. That's possible, too. You can do that by sending tweets to @PackerPulse and just send us whatever it is that you have. We have one tweet that we've gotten so far, and it was from Ross Uglum, who said we were going 23-0. And it appears that that prediction, I'm sorry, Ross, was incorrect. But 19-0 is still possible if they wanted to do that. Of course, they want to do that if they can do that. And that all remains to be seen. Obviously, I'm not going to bet on that. Breaking news there. Speaking of breaking news, probably the most surprising part that came out of the game against the Denver Broncos was the fact that the Packers are bringing in an outside linebacker for a free agent visit. And today is Monday, as I said, so he will be here in Green Bay tomorrow. And he's visiting. His name is Ahmad Brooks. He used to play for the San Francisco 49ers. He was opposite Alden Smith for a few years. He's a consistent player. He's not going to remind anybody of Reggie White in his prime, but as I've stated several times, I thought that the biggest need for this Packers team was pass rusher. And Bill Huber wrote a story that I think today put it better than I ever could. And that is that, you know, the Packers' approach at outside linebacker predictably backfires. And what I mean by that is Saturday, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, and Jayron Elliott all dropped out of the game with an injury. Now, the extent of those injuries remains to be seen. I'm not going to form an opinion without all the information. I saw some of the Twitter analysts doing so today, suggesting that, you know, Clay Matthews' time in Green Bay is numbered, when the reality is it could have just been a small tweak of the hamstring and he's going to be ready to play by the opener against Seattle. I don't know all the information, so I'm not going to form an opinion on that. But I can tell you that the Packers knew going into the offseason they didn't bring back Dayton Jones. They didn't bring back Julius Peppers, and they knew that Clay Matthews and Nick Perry had an injury history, and they were relying on Kyler Fackrell and Jayron Elliott, two guys that are very, very unproven, to put it modestly, to be their, quote, backup and eventually starting pass rushers, because you imagine that it's football. I mean, people get hurt. Even the most durable players in NFL history got hurt, and even Brett Favre missed time by the end of his career, and he's the NFL Iron Man, if you will. So the Packers knew that they needed, or at least I thought that they should have known that they needed more help as pass rushers or with the pass rushing unit. And they pretty much ignored the position until the fourth round when they drafted Vince Beagle, and Beagle has yet to take part in practice. This has backfired, and that is why Ahmad Brooks is in camp, in my opinion. And I still think that, and we'll talk about it at, you know, our regular season show, Packers' biggest weakness is outside linebacker. It's pass rusher, and I don't think that there's much doubt when it comes to that. But, Jason, let's keep this on Brooks specifically. What is your opinion on bringing this guy in? Is this an indictment of one player in particular? Is it the whole position group? Or is it just adding another guy because he's available and they didn't think he would be?
Oh, I think there's a reason for it. And I don't know which of those it is. I think it's just prep in case. I don't think they really know exactly what the extent of some of these injuries are going to be. They've got a lot of history on Clay Matthews. We all have a lot of history on Clay Matthews, and I think that's where some of the tweets you mentioned are coming from. I think as he gets a little bit older in his career, everyone starts getting more frustrated and wants either the Clay of the, you know, they want to see the Predator, or they want to trade him, or they don't think that he's valuable to this Packers team, which I still disagree with. I think Clay Matthews is very valuable to this defense, but I think it's up to the Packers to figure out how he's going to fit in this year, because the reality is he's not going to play 16 games. That's just a fact. Over the course of his career, he's, I think, done it before, but I think there was a heavy dose of inside linebacker mixed in there when he did. So Brooks coming in, I haven't watched a lot of him lately. He's a name. I can't say much more about him in terms of what I think he'd specifically bring to the defense, but I think he's a guy to come in and provide some depth in case one of these other guys is possibly going to be challenged. You know, the one that concerns me the most. I read on Twitter, and I don't recall where it came from. I think it might have been Tom Silverstein, but it sounded like Nick Perry's injury seems to be the least serious, which is good news, because Perry obviously just recently signed to that big deal and expected to be a big contributor and a starter, so he'll play a lot of snaps. So if he's healthy, that's good. Fackrell's healthy, but is he effective? I have my doubts about that. I'm most concerned about Jayron Elliott because he's got a back issue, and back issues just don't tend to kind of disappear. I think once you have them, they can resurface easily, and it sounded like he had some back spasms, and so that's concerning as well, because what's causing that, and is it going to continue to be an issue? So I haven't heard anything about Brooks being signed. Now, I don't think you'll see that happen. I think you're going to see if Ahmad Brooks leaves Green Bay and he doesn't get signed, I think you're going to see some Packers fans up in arms that the Packers let another veteran that could really help this team leave town without a contract, and now he's going to go to Denver. The Broncos are reportedly interested, and he's going to go sign with someone else because they're going to offer him a deal, and he might. That might be the case. But I would agree with the Packers not signing him right now, because if they don't know what their outside linebacker depth chart looks like, why sign a guy and guarantee his salary for the entire season once the regular season begins, which I believe is either the day after the fourth preseason game, which would be Friday, or at some point early next week, the regular season officially starts, and then when you sign a guy, his salary is prorated. So from a financial standpoint, the Packers aren't in any kind of cap trouble, but I still think it's just diligent of them to try to provide as much value from signing Brooks if they're going to as possible. So more to come on that. I just don't think they know a lot about what's happening right now. It's still early on in their evaluation process, and it's due diligence.
Well, those people that you mentioned that'll be upset, I don't know if upset like fire Ted Thompson will be accurate to describe me, but I will be disappointed because, Jason, the answer to your question is this guy, Ahmad Brooks, is easily the Packers' third-best outside linebacker if he signs with this team tomorrow. You don't need to know what your outside linebacker depth chart looks like because you know that Matthews and Perry are going to start, and as you stated, one of them is probably going to miss some time this year, A, because it's football and players get hurt. That's just what happens. B, those guys have a history of getting hurt. This is a guy who, if nothing else, you know that he can do a few – he's at minimum going to be a very good run defender. He's always been that throughout his career. And now, if he provides you a little bit of pop as a pass rusher, like I said, this outside linebacker core is not very good, and I don't have much trouble saying that. And I haven't had much trouble saying that all offseason, that this outside linebacker group is mediocre to bad. And if Matthews and Perry – even if Matthews or Perry miss some time, it goes from below average to really poor. Now, their outside linebacker group was not great in 2010. Eric Walden and Frank Zombo were, quote, the other pass rushers in that group. But Clay Matthews was also second that year for Defensive Player of the Year. So there's a lot going on at this group. And right now, if there's a position group that really makes you feel uneasy, I have to think it's outside linebacker at this point. Jason, do you have anything to add before I move on to the game?
I'm going to say no, I don't have anything to add, and I'm actually not going to add anything for once.
All right, so there is a first time for everything, in case you people did not know. Because, yeah, Jason's notorious for saying, no, I have nothing to add, and then he talks for 5 minutes. So that's okay. That's why we have the show. To the game, and let's start on special teams, because if you really thought about it before the season started or before the preseason started, there weren't a ton of jobs up for grabs. But one of them was the punt return job. And, you know, that is where Micah Hyde returned punts last year. Randall Cobb did a little bit as well. And going into this season, you can tell that the Packers were making some kind of effort at least to get someone else back there. Quentin Rollins has tried to return punts, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but that's another story. Trevor Davis has gone back there. Jeff Janis, Max McCaffrey. There's a lot of guys that have tried their hand at the return game. And the one who, again, he's boom or bust. I will certainly admit that. Trevor Davis is boom or bust because this year, as far as his punt returning skills have gone, he's returned a punt for a touchdown against the Philadelphia Eagles. He returned a punt on Saturday against the Broncos for 30-something yards and had some nice moves in the open field. And he's also had the downs of he fumbled a punt against Washington, and he kind of sputtered on one return, which less his fault, more so an issue with the blocking game. But still, it's certainly been up and down. And Trevor Davis had the fumble last year. Jason, we talked about it last week. But, I mean, 31-yard punt return where he looks really good. He's kind of, you know, if he has a little more space in the field, he might house that one. I think, this is my opinion, I think you have to take the risk of him being somebody that could potentially drop the football, but he could also score a touchdown. And the Packers haven't had a punt returner, in my opinion, that could score a touchdown every time he touches it since the early career of Randall Cobb. I know Micah Hyde did some really good things in his Packers career as a punt returner, but he was just never the explosive athlete and never will be the explosive athlete that Trevor Davis is. I think he needs to be the punt returner, and if he's not, I don't know who you put back there. Jason, if it's not Trevor Davis, and I know you've had some trepidations, who's your guy back there?
It would be Max McCaffrey, because I want Max McCaffrey on this team, and it's starting to become kind of like a bad way. I just really like him in the offense, and I like his character on the field, and he seems like the type of guy who's not going to put the ball on the ground. I agree with you. I want Trevor Davis, like, everyday cliche. Finish the cliche. You know what the rest of it is. As the punt returner. Absolutely. I think that Davis has the ability to get his head on straight. I think he kind of peeked downfield and was trying to break one, and you know, a good returner is always going to be looking for an advantage. But I think he's going to realize and understand that his speed is a huge asset and that he can make plays with even a fraction of a second longer to work with. And he doesn't have to peek downfield 2 seconds before the ball hits his hand. He knows he can catch it, and even if guys are converging on him, he'll be able to make a move because he's got confidence in his speed, and I think that comes with maturity. And once those things start to happen, then you think you're going to start to see fewer balls hitting the ground and him dropping the ball. So I say it's Trevor Davis. He's had a nice return in every single game. He actually had a nice catch that I saw in the preseason game, may have had more. So they're still putting him out there at wide receiver. They're committed to him. They spent a fifth-round pick on him. He's not a low pick. They obviously love his speed. His speed is a huge asset. Speed is something that this team has been missing for a really long time. That was something Micah Hyde did not have. So, but I think if it's not Trevor Davis, I think maybe you try McCaffrey back there. I mean, he's not the fastest guy, but he just, you know, he kind of reminds me, I mean, this is a convenient example, but he kind of reminds me of like a young Jordy Nelson, where it's like you knew that there was something there. You just weren't sure what it was going to be, but you didn't hate it. And that's kind of where I'm at with McCaffrey. And I don't care about the pedigree, and people talk about his dad, Ed McCaffrey, who played with the Broncos for many years and was a great receiver. But this team is just loaded with young talent. Trevor Davis is one of the guys I'm really excited about this season. I think if he stays healthy and he's able to keep his job, I think by the time January rolls around, or hopefully in our case February rolls around, I think we're going to be talking about Trevor Davis as one of the maybe unexpected keys to what this team did this season.
I'm excited to see what Trevor Davis could do potentially in the offense, just because his speed can open up so many. I mean, you know, the play I hearken back to is the bomb against Detroit that turned into pass interference where Rodgers is rolling left and just flicks his wrist. But Davis is behind his guy on that play. The Packers don't have anybody as fast as Trevor Davis, and that's just a fact. But as far as the punt return job goes, I think that he has certainly put himself in a very good position to lock that thing up. I think that he needs to not – screw up in the last game, because here's the reality of the fourth preseason game, guys. I hate to burst your bubble. There's going to be a lot of punts on Thursday because it's just the fourth preseason game every year is just an awful football game. No offense to the guys, of course, that are going out there and trying to make a job or make a roster, but it's just really bad football in the fourth preseason game because Sean McVay of the Rams has already said his starters aren't going to play. The Packers barely play their starters in other preseason games, so those guys are certainly not going to play. And with teams not cutting down from 90 to 75, that gives them even more players to use. I think I will be surprised in this fourth game, for example, if you see Aaron Rodgers or Brett Hundley. I think that Brett Hundley playing the majority of the third preseason game meant that the fourth one was going to be mostly Joe Callahan and Taysom Hill. But that remains to be seen, obviously. But with there being a lot of punts is what I was getting at, is Trevor Davis is going to have opportunities to make one final impression, if you will, before the Packers take on the Seahawks. Speaking of the first-team offense, certainly not humming like it did against Washington. But again, they played a better defense. They went 3-and-out on their first series. Rodgers missed a throw to Jordy Nelson on a play-action fake down the field. The good news there was that Jordy was behind his man, so that was nice to see. Maybe the Packers can get return of the long ball from Jordy Nelson this year as well. Their right tackle situation was odd. You know, you have Kyle Murphy and Jason Spriggs kind of splitting time, but both of them only played one series with Aaron Rodgers. And Spriggs probably had the best bet because he made a really nice block on an explosive run from Ty Montgomery. Then again, as the game progressed, Spriggs continued to struggle. He had obviously the good block. He had a couple good pass pro reps against Von Miller. And Von Miller is going to make a lot of guys look silly. So I'm not going to give him too much guff for what happened against Von Miller. However, like I said, as the game progressed, Spriggs really struggled. And this is a guy, again, we talked about this last week, Jason. This is a guy they picked. So when a starting tackle gets hurt, it's not a complete disaster like it was, you know, a couple years ago when Don Barclay and Josh Walker were your backup tackles. And now Spriggs, I mean, you got to be honest at this point. He has not played well in this preseason. And the backup offensive line as a whole has played really – I mean, it's making people miss Don Barclay. And anybody who's listened to this show in some extended fashion knows how I feel about Don Barclay. Packers offensive line depth this year is very – or appears to be very poor. Now, I have something that potentially be a silver lining – but, Jason, what are your thoughts on, again, your namesake, Jason Spriggs?
Well, very nice tease. I'm intrigued. So I'm going to try to make this brief so I can hear what your silver lining is. So, Spriggs, I've said a million times, I don't know what I'm looking at. I mean, after watching enough offensive line play, I feel like maybe by years of experience watching, I kind of do maybe know more than I think I do of what offensive linemen should be and shouldn't be doing with their footwork, their handwork. And I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard he did well. I've heard he looked like garbage. So I'm just going to say that I don't think he was awful. I think that maybe some people are convinced that he's just not going to have a good season. And so he already kind of, as I like to say, starts out down 0-2 in the count before the ball's even snapped. And anything that he does that remotely resembles mediocrity or below is a fail, which I don't think is necessarily true. I still believe he's a young player, so there's no reason to give up on him. And frankly, I don't want to give up on him because we need him to succeed as Packers fans. He's a second-round pick. He's the heir apparent to Brian Bulaga. And with every single injury that Bulaga sustains, is one more day or incident closer to Jason Spriggs being your starting right tackle for the Green Bay Packers. So I still think he's the guy. I don't really think any questions were answered against the Broncos. I don't think it was markedly worse. What was more confusing to me was why Kyle Murphy only played one series. I guess I didn't see anything from him that was so spectacular that it's like, okay, you're our guy. Sit down. We're going to let you rest and take the conservative route. We don't want you to get hurt. We're going to put Spriggs out there. He needs some more work. So Jake, I don't know if you have any insight there or not, but that's really more what I took away than just than Spriggs and the is he going to be okay or not.
Well, I mean, the thing about Kyle Murphy, I mean, he did come back and play later. I'm sure they wanted to see Spriggs because, I mean, the reality is this is a guy they traded up for. They want him to succeed. They just do. And obviously the Packers fan base should as well. And I'm not willing to give up on Jason Spriggs just yet. I think that, you know, Ross Uglum does some really good stuff with film review. It's called After Further Review or something like that, that he does on Mondays. And he did some good stuff with Jason Spriggs today. And he said it really well. I thought he said he needs to trust himself and stop guessing. And what I see with Spriggs also is, A, guessing a little bit, and he just kind of lunges at pass rushers. And a good offensive lineman, you'll see, and Bakhtiari is a good one to watch. He's really good at this kind of stuff. It's, you know, keeping a good base and keeping your butt underneath you, which sounds weird to say, but if your butt is underneath you, then you are well-balanced and able to move whatever way the pass rusher kind of wants you to go. And Spriggs is lunging all the time. And that's what's helping him get beat all over the place. He was always going to struggle with inside moves because he did in college, but he's struggling with all kinds of stuff right now. He needs to trust himself. Now, my silver lining that I talked about was, one, players get better. So it's possible that Jason Spriggs gets better as the regular season progresses. And as far as line depth, when Don Barclay comes back, which it sounds like he should be ready for the season opener, which is good news, believe it or not, he can play any spot on the offensive line except for left tackle. He may not do the best at right tackle, but he can at least fill in there for a game or two. The other thing I think some people are forgetting, and I don't think the Packers have forgotten, is Kyle Murphy really projects well as a guard. And he could be the starting right guard next season if the Packers decide they don't want to bring back Jarry Evans. And he's someone that could play adequate at any of the interior spots. So, yes, the Packers' backup offensive line has been poor, but I think the guys that you're going to keep – are good enough to where, you know, we're not talking about guys like a raw rookie Kofi Amicha or Lucas Patrick or Jeff Gray or somebody like that. Those guys are not going to be on the team barring a catastrophic disaster of epic proportions. And that's a lot of superlatives there, I know. But those guys are not going to play once the regular season begins, unless something really, really goes wrong. So I think that the Packers' depth is certainly not as good as it was last year when you have different hopes for Jason Spriggs. He had a good rookie campaign in the preseason. And you have J.C. Tretter, who is better than Don Barclay, to rotate around the interior spots of the offensive line. But I also don't think it's as terrible as we're making it out to be. Because the reality is, if you watch a lot of these teams, the backup offensive linemen suck on just about every team. That's just how it is. There aren't a whole lot of good offensive linemen in today's game. That's just kind of how it is. And if there's not any good starters, then there aren't a whole lot of good backups either. That's how I feel about the backup offensive linemen. Let's move to the running game real quick, because this is the first time we've really had something to talk about. Ty Montgomery, my goodness. First off, I had a fantasy draft last night, and this will be the last time I mention fantasy football in the show, I promise, because I know nobody gives a shit. But I picked Ty Montgomery last night, and I'm really excited about it because I think that Montgomery has, I'm not going to say special because the word special is reserved for guys like Zeke Elliott or, you know, Le'Veon Bell or guys like that. But I do think Montgomery has a chance to be a really good runner. And you saw his patience, his burst, his speed in the open field on it. It was 125-yard run. I know that. But Montgomery did a lot of good things last year that I think are getting, if he wore number 33, instead of 88, I've said that a million times, then nobody would have any questions about the Packers starting running back. But since he wore 88 and is a converted wide receiver, there is. Now, the rest of the runners, Aaron Jones flashed. Devontae Mays certainly looks the part. Jamal Williams did some good things in the passing game. All of these running backs are doing something to contribute. And if you think about it, it's interesting because there's reports that Eddie Lacy is on the roster bubble in Seattle. It's possible that he gets released and Ted Thompson looks more, well, Ted Thompson looks really smart for kind of sticking to his guns and letting him walk when, you know, this was a guy that everybody kind of thought the Packers had to have back because you can't go into the regular season with just Ty Montgomery. And now, I mean, those backs are proving that they can contribute in some way. And the guy that left is still struggling. Jason, what do you think about the running game here? And let's start specifically with Ty Montgomery.
Well, my comment is I like every week I'm more encouraged with Ty Montgomery. He runs hard. He just makes things happen. I think he's a great thing for this offense. The only question I have about him is his health. Can he stay healthy? Anybody can get hurt, so that doesn't mean I think that he will get hurt, but that's the only thing that really concerns me about Ty Montgomery. He's a solid player. He's committed to his craft. He works out a lot. The guy is a brick shithouse, and he is built. And so for people, I just laugh. I think we talked about it last week, and people say, well, he doesn't really have the typical running back build. I think they're just seeing a wide receiver who's playing running back, and they think that he's miscast, but he's not. He looks every bit the part. So I'm very encouraged with Montgomery. It's the young guys. I just want to see what's going to happen behind Ty. Now, you mentioned something interesting, and it kind of led me to another point that I don't want to forget. So, Jake, just want to are we done with outside linebackers, or are we coming back to those later?
We'll go back when we talk about Reggie Gilbert.
Okay, so you mentioned Eddie Lacy being on the roster bubble. And if he doesn't end up in Seattle, now I kind of struggle to see why they wouldn't keep him unless something is happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. But, you know, so to finish up, well, let's bookmark that. So to finish up, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams seem to be your 2-3, 2-2, 2-A, 2-B, whatever you want to call it. I really like what I've seen from Aaron Jones. Thought he's played really well the last couple of weeks. He's been the leading back when they've been trying to figure out what these young guys can do. But I also like Jamal Williams, so I'm not going to get tied up in who's second or third on the depth chart. Devontae Mays, I didn't see much of. I don't even know if he got into this game or not. I was watching the NFL Network replay, and every time Aaron Jones touched the ball, the guys – commentating the game, and I don't recall who it was because I kind of wasn't paying attention, just kept saying Devontae Mays with the carry, and as clear as the nose on your face, it said Jones on the back of his jersey. So I don't know how that mistake continues to get made for an entire quarter, but it did. But going back to Lacy, you know, you have to wonder if the Packers have really moved on from him, or if the situation is right and the money is right. Do they shake everything up and look at the possibility of bringing him back? Because he's a big back. He knows the offense, and he's built well. So, I mean, it might not make a lot of sense because you've already got a roster full of backs. But if they're not totally enamored with a Devontae Mays, for example, and they want to stash him on the practice squad, Is that a possibility? And Jake, I don't know if that's where you were headed, or if you think that's outlandish.
I wondered if this would come up because I've thought about it. If, you know, if Lacy's not going to come back, or if he's not going to end up in Seattle, because, and the reason for those that don't know is CJ Procise is there, Alex Collins is there. Trevor Rawls is there, and there's a seventh rounder named Chris Carson that has performed well, and he's actually outperforming most everyone. And with the way Pete Carroll doesn't give a shit, to put it bluntly, Pete Carroll does not care. And I hearken back to the day of, you know, when they signed Matt Flynn to this huge free agent contract, And their week one starter is Russell Wilson. Why? Because he performed better in training camp and in preseason games, so he was the starting quarterback. So I don't think Carroll would have a problem cutting Eddie Lacy because, I mean, reality is they signed him to a one-year, three-and-a-half-ish million, somewhere around there. It was less than $5 million. I know that. It's not a ton of money to just kind of cut bait with. Now, me, if the Packers are not comfortable with Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, Devontae Mays, or if they think they could stash one on the practice squad, which is certainly possible, I'd be open to a reunion. I wanted Lacy back at the time, I think. I said eventually when Lacy decided to move on, it made sense. It kind of felt like it was time for all the parties to move on. But, you know, some of these guys that leave Green Bay, and I'm not trying to boast about, you know, the Packers organization here, but these guys that leave Green Bay have, you know, kind of said before, James Jones, I believe, was one of them, who said you kind of don't know what you have there until you're not there anymore. And I think that could be something that maybe rejuvenates Eddie's legs. And he really is a really good combination to Ty Montgomery. Now, I say that to say that if the Packers were in this hypothetical scenario to bring back Eddie Lacy, Ty Montgomery needs to remain the starting and the primary running back because he fits this offense so much better than Lacy. And that's not no offense to Lacy because he did some great things here. But the Packers want to spread you out and throw the ball and play no huddle and all those things. You have to be able to play as a spread type back. Now, Montgomery is not just a scat back, but he is a spread back because of his background, obviously, as a wide receiver. So I would be interested, Jason, would you?
I certainly would. Familiarity is important to me, the way I see how this team operates. So I'm down with it as long as it makes sense. And right now I don't see any, I don't see anything that's on the roster that to me would be a better option. So, you know, obviously we haven't been following him through camp to see how he's been doing because he's not here. But from what we know, if he's equal to or better than what you've got, then, you know, it would only make sense. This team is primed to make a run. So you want to put the best players in the best position. And if it just so happens that somebody who's been in the fold is once again available through whatever force of nature it be, I think you have to look at it. And the reason I asked about linebackers is because there's another guy that I think we're going to probably talk about a little bit later on that kind of fits that same conversation.
That we are, and I believe in that in this business is called a tease. So we will move away from the running backs and to the quarterback, not Aaron Rodgers, because, oh, what I was saying earlier, and I'm reminded now since we're talking about quarterbacks, it was interesting to me that the Packers essentially played the whole game with Aaron Rodgers in it, so his two series, if you will, as if they were afraid to let him play the position because of the right tackle. To which my question would be, if you're going to do everything to help your right tackle, because he's facing Von Miller, which I understand in a regular season setting, why wouldn't you just leave Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines then? If that's what you're going to do. But this is not about Aaron Rodgers because we know who he is. We know he's ready. Brett Hundley, this was his audition, and that was very clear because he played almost the entire game after – well, he did – I take that back. He did play the entire game after Rodgers left with 3 points on the board. So I almost said an injury, but we're not talking about injuries for him. So Brett Hundley – comes in and he plays. I mean, here's the thing is Brett Hundley's numbers are good. And that astonishes me because the line he's playing behind is just terrible. And they have gotten him beaten up and he has some really unfavorable downs and distances. It's just hard for him to, I think, get in a rhythm because it's hard to play behind an offensive line that really is just that bad, and that's what they have been over that time. So I'm interested just to see what exactly it is the Packers are able to get for him. Backup quarterbacks, the you know, teams have gotten smarter as far as that goes, I think. You can see that as evidenced by Jimmy Garoppolo not being traded this offseason, whether that's the Patriots' choice or someone else's. I suppose that remains to be seen. I don't think that anybody's going to offer a first-round pick for Brett Hundley, but I do know that I at least believe that if the Packers were to play a game, knock on wood, hope I never have to know this, but if they were to play without Aaron Rodgers for a week or two, it's not as if the game is over like it was a few weeks ago or a few years ago when Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien and those guys are playing quarterback. The game's not over before it even starts like it was back then. Jason, what are your thoughts on Brett Hundley?
Hundley was an interesting one coming out of this game because if you read the Twitter analysts, as you called them earlier, which is a great way to describe it, Brett Hundley had a terrible game and he had a great game. So depends on which tweet you want to read. So I watched for myself and I personally didn't think it was awful. And I think he's done some really good things. At one point, I mean, he kind of rolled out. He kind of, you know, did his best Aaron Rodgers impression and rolled out under pressure and found a receiver downfield. Now, I don't recall if the play went for a completion or not, but I don't see a lot of Brett Hundley doing that. That's a sign of maturity, though, so he's doing good things. And the Packers are lucky to have him. They've got him for this season and next season before they have to decide what they're going to do. And they need to – the Packers need to keep their leverage – with Hundley and you never want to hope that somebody gets hurt, but an injury is probably going to be what nets the Packers their highest return for Brett Hundley. And if a team really wants him more than the other options that are out there. But at this point, I think this, if you had, you know, pick a side or pick a lane, has this preseason help or hurt Hundley's value or his case or his tape? I think it's absolutely helped. He's looked great in the Packers offense and, you know, don't forget 2 years ago when he first came into camp, and it was during the spring practice portion of the off season. Hundley looked terrible. I mean, he looked awful, and very quickly, and somehow, the light bulb and the switch flipped, and he became very serviceable and very good in this offense, and he's earned a lot of respect from the coaching staff. So I think you're right, Jake. If he's got to play, I don't have any concerns other than the fact that Aaron Rodgers is not playing, which is always very concerning by itself. But Brett Hundley's put out some good tape this preseason. I'm happy for him, and I'm glad that the Packers have him in green and gold. I mean, I am happy that he's in green and gold. I just hope that I don't need to be, if that makes sense.
Brad, I'm trying to remember you. I thought back, too, as you said that, spring practice, OTAs and such, it was the quarterbacks in camp at the time were Tolzien and Rodgers, obviously, and then Hundley. And then there was another guy who I believe was from UW-Whitewater. It was kind of a Cinderella story, but he was the one that was supposedly ahead of Hundley by the time OTAs ended. And clearly that obviously didn't happen. I believe that guy's out of the league. And Hundley, obviously, is a backup quarterback who may net the Packers a nice draft pick one day. It's possible whether that comes as a compensatory pick or it comes when they trade him. I do know this. I would rather have Brett Hundley starting than at least a few other team starting quarterbacks in this league, and I feel pretty confident saying that. Defense. It's kind of been the story of camp because, obviously, Well, let's just face it. The Packers' defense has sucked for a couple years. It was really bad last year, to reiterate that point there. But it was really bad last year. The outside linebackers, your standout outside linebacker this summer is Reggie Gilbert. And as I said, weakest position group on the team, guys. That's just what it is. It's the weakest position group on the team, the outside linebackers. Reggie Gilbert is nothing flashy, nothing fancy, nothing too special, but he does have a plan and he attacks with it. Now, I believe that's just preseason noise. Obviously, I don't think Nick Perry and Clay Matthews are going to have quiet seasons. I think they'll have some good seasons if they are healthy. It just is interesting that, you know, we had this talk about, I was excited for Jayrone Elliott's. I don't think anybody really talked about Kyler Fackrell too much, but you were hopeful that he could do something. And now we're talking about Reggie Gilbert, and Vince Beagle obviously has yet to play a snap this preseason. It's possible that he plays Thursday, but that remains to be seen, obviously, as well. But Jason, you mentioned that you had a thought when it came to outside linebackers. So I want to hear your thoughts on Reggie Gilbert and then kind of what you're thinking here, because I think I know.
Yeah, I know you're dead on. At this point, we're at that finish each other's sentences phase. So, yeah, that's where it's headed for sure. But Reggie Gilbert has definitely not hurt himself this preseason with what he has put on tape, talking about guys putting some work on tape. He's looked good. You have to caution yourself in preseason because a lot of that comes against guys that aren't going to be starting and they're also not scheming and they're not doing the things that they would do in a normal game. But I've said before many times that if a guy makes a play, he still makes a play. It's regardless of what the scenario is. There's plenty of plays in a game that don't get made for whatever reason, a lack of concentration, a lack of desire to seize the moment, you name it. Reggie Gilbert has done it. You know, he's got a sack in almost every game, and I think if he plays in week four, which he will, because I think this coaching staff is looking for one clincher or a clinching moment to say, you know what, he's sticking. And I think if he gets a sack in this game, I think it's all but stamped. Reggie Gilbert's on this team, and there's a depth problem at outside linebacker. So for whatever reason you want to call it, you know, I think he stays. And I'm glad that he does because when they brought him on board, he was one I wanted to watch, and he's got a good motor. So I don't know what his health situation is or if he's got an injury history or not. But, you know, if he can stay available, I think he's somebody that could come in a pinch and maybe – be somewhat effective. It's again, playing against starters is a totally different story. But, you know, we talked about Eddie Lacy being on the roster bubble. And earlier today, I heard some more rumblings about another former Packer who could be on the roster bubble. And that is Dayton Jones in Minnesota with the Vikings, which was surprising to me because, you know, that defense, what I saw Dayton Jones do for the Packers, adding him to the Vikings defense was actually kind of a scary thought to me. So, and it's also interesting that would leak out because in order for that to leak out, somebody within the Vikings organization had to have either leaked that, admitted that, or that is just pure speculation by somebody in the media and it's caught fire. For whatever reason, if the Vikings have allowed that to get out, it's really surprising because you'd have to think the Packers would be very interested in having Dayton back if he becomes available as a free agent and he's back on the street because they can sign him to whatever kind of deal they want to. And they could even do a 1-year deal if they wanted to just test it out and see if they do want to bring him back and they do want to give him another chance after not re-signing him this past off season. So I would welcome Dayton back with open arms. Obviously there's an issue right now with some injuries and I'd rather have Dayton in there kind of, you know, morphing back and forth between his D-line and his linebacker position over a healthy Kyler Fackrell, you know, on his best day right now. So that's a situation that I definitely want to keep an eye on. And Jake, I'd have to assume that you probably agree. Again, it goes back to what I said before. You want to put the best players on the field and give the team the best chance to win. And Dayton was probably one of the guys. He might have been the one free agent this team did not bring back that I was kind of a little worried about and a little disappointed about.
Yeah, we talked about it as soon as he signed to Minnesota. I was saying this is a guy who last year limited reps and led the team in quarterback hits. I thought that was worth bringing back for another year and some extended reps. You know, essentially, if you take this year's outside linebacker group and instead of Kyler Fackrell have Dayton Jones, I'm at least a little less scared, upset, whatever you want to call it, about prospects for this pass rushing group. And Dayton is a guy who, yeah, if the Vikings cut him, I don't know how much interest the Packers would have because he signed a 1-year deal for minimal money, and it sounded like the Packers never really contacted him. But, you know, things change, obviously, with the free agent visit from Ahmad Brooks and all those different things. It's possible they would want to bring him back, and I wouldn't complain. Like I said, I wanted to bring him back the first time. Anyways, so I would say, yeah, if he gets cut, bring him back. If you can get him back, obviously I'm sure it'll be cheap. So what the hell? Why not? moving forward here, the other obviously big hole, if you will, on this Packers team was the secondary coming into the year. And the young secondary has really acquitted itself very well here in the first three preseason games. Quite a few of them are flat. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix. I think he's just going to be a star this year. I think you're going to see him convert into just an absolute star. And I think that that bodes well for the Packers defense. But it's not just him. Kentrell Bryce had the biggest play of the game with an interception. He looks like a better player. Mike McCarthy's talked about him making a second-year leap. That's certainly evident at this point. And then you've got Marwin Evans had another big night. He had a couple pass breakups. He had a big tackle for loss as a running in the run game. Kevin King has done some good things. He is probably more of a work in progress than anything else, but he has done some good things, and that's what you want to see. You have Josh Jones, who's kind of been quiet, but you know they're going to ask him to do a lot of different things. And I think that eventually, by the end of the year, that might be a guy who, by the end of the year, you're saying, damn, that guy's gotten a lot better. Demarius Randall, I thought, had a really good game on Saturday night. Quentin Rollins has played well this training camp. And the Packers are getting Devon House back potentially for Thursday's game against the Rams, which means they should have most of, if not all, of their preferred starters for the Seattle game, which is very rare, if not unprecedented, with the way that the preseason goes. Packers are relatively healthy, and you can't complain at all. But this young secondary, Jason, you have to be encouraged with – I mean, let me say this, too. There's – and I'll talk about it on Sunday when we do our regular season show. There's going to be growing pains. That's just how it is. There's going to be moments where you say, man, this guy looks lost, or, you know, they're going to struggle, and maybe they win a game or maybe they lose a game by giving up 400 yards passing. I certainly think that's possible. But you have to be encouraged with what you're seeing. That remember that teams in week one are not the same teams they are in week 17, for example. Jason, what do you think about this young secondary at this point?
It's probably one of the, if you go off of the preseason alone, and it's, that's not enough to go off of to say it's going to continue, but it's probably been the most consistent group out of any out there. And the young guys are the ones making the plays. Kevin King has a lot to learn, and he's got to develop. And I think in his coverage, there's going to be some growing pains this season. So here's your public service announcement and your disclaimer and your asterisk. Kevin King is going to screw up this season. He's going to make mistakes, but he's also going to do some things that make us say, wow. And as a rookie and an early second-round pick, you know, he kind of got the monkey off of his back not being technically picked in the first round. So the expectations then, you know, maybe get adjusted a little bit. He's going to be what I think you want a pick in that spot to be. He's going to be enough to do more good than harm. Marwin Evans is looking good and making a case for himself. Put him in the same kind of category as Reggie Gilbert. Might be against backups. It might be against quarterbacks who aren't making reads that a starter would and the type of throws that a starter would, but he's still making the plays that were presented to him. And he's had a couple of really athletic pass breakups, and that's not something that I don't think it matters whether it's backups or not. When you're making an athletic play, you either can or you can't. And Marwin Evans is showing that he can. So it's encouraging to see that that depth is looking good. When Ladarius Gunter isn't even playing until the third quarter, that's where you want Ladarius Gunter, in that type of a position where what he's doing makes sense for where he is on the depth chart, not lining up against Julio Jones in man coverage in the NFC Championship game. So this secondary, and I haven't even really talked about the safeties beyond Evans. Josh Jones, everybody's excited about him. He had the injury, so we haven't seen a whole lot from him, but I think the stuff that Dom Capers is going to do with Josh Jones aren't the type of things that they're going to show in preseason anyway. So, you know, week one, if they're going to come hard after Seattle, and they should, I mean, they got to come out guns blazing. The first five games of this schedule are tough. I think these first couple games could be a little bit of a light show if Josh Jones gets off to a fast start. So I'm really excited about the secondary in particular. And yes, I agree with you. Randall, seeing him back out there. Demarius Randall's another guy. You got to take the good with the bad. He's going to make some mistakes, but man, he is going to make some electric plays. And I point back to the interception he made on the goal line against the Seahawks last season at Lambeau Field. He came, you know, watch it again. He comes out of nowhere. Doug Baldwin is absolutely astonished that he didn't just catch a touchdown pass, because Demarius Randall literally just came from outside of his field of vision and snatched the ball in midair, and off to the races he goes. So secondary is looking good. And in fact, I wrote about it this morning at Chiefshead TV and put an article up about it. These young guys are doing work. So they're in good shape for now, as long as everybody can stay healthy.
And that's going to be the big thing as far as health, because, you know, last year, even, you know, you've got Randall and Rollins playing hurt. So that was tough on them. And you know what, football players are going to play hurt, but those guys were clearly affected by their injuries last season. There's one game left, and it's really the final chance to make an impression. I don't know how many guys are actually fighting for roster spots. I don't think there's a ton. I do know a couple positives, I suppose, that come out of this are Devon House and Vince Beagle are both expected to play on Thursday. Or at least I would put it as more likely than it isn't. I could be wrong. But who are you watching, Jason, in this final game? Because we've seen it before. Like, for example, Jarrett Boykin has a big final game, and he made the roster because of that, and actually made some noise in Green Bay before kind of flaming out here. But the guy I'm watching, you know, I think that Josh Hawkins is somebody that has been discussed, and I think he's a lock, is probably a little strong. But I think he's very likely to make the team. He's definitely on the team as a punt gunner. I mentioned it earlier. I'm watching Trevor Davis as a punt returner to see if he's got one more big play in him. I'm watching the running backs. I want to see Aaron Jones. I want to see Devontae Mays. I want to see Jamal Williams. I want to see those guys perform in what is their last chance to make a big impression. And then I think, you know, the last guy I'm watching is the guy we've been talking about. It's Reggie Gilbert. You're talking about pass rushers that need to make plays to be on the team. Gilbert's one of them. He's definitely on the bubble. I think that he's earned a roster spot at this point, but that remains to be seen. But those are the guys I'm watching. Jason, are you watching anybody specific on Thursday night?
Well, I'd love to see Vince Beagle get out there and play. If he does, he can't go on PUP. So if Vince Beagle gets out there and plays, I think we feel a little bit better about maybe the depth. He's an unknown at this point, but, you know, I anybody that hasn't played yet, I want to see if they're, you know, how they're looking. It'd be nice to see House in some game action, although he's enough of a veteran that I don't know, do you risk it? You know, I get that you want to get him back in this defense and get him some live reps, but the last thing I want is for him to, you know, get caught defending an out and up or a double move, and he tweaks that hamstring, and we're back to square one, and now he's missing the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, which, you know, these young guys might be able to step up and fill in, and you never know. It could be like a Wally Pipp type situation where Devon House never sees the field because Kevin King came in and seized the day and never looked back as the starting corner on the outside. So I guess if you're going to put House out there, you probably have the most reinforcements out of most any other position group on the team to handle it if he does get hurt again. But I would say bubble guys, you know, that you want to see kind of get over. And like I said, with Reggie Gilbert, you want him to make that one more big play that solidifies their spot on this roster. It's, you know, but remember the point you made earlier, which is true. This game is a you-know-what show. It's not pretty. You know, it's not any sort of, you know, Pro Bowl, which the Pro Bowl itself has kind of become a lot more like week four of the preseason than what it was intended for years ago. So maybe that's a bad example, but, you know, it's not there for great football. It's there for evaluating young guys. And so, you know, if anything, let's see how sharp these special teams are. Can these young guys contribute on special teams? Because that's probably mostly what they're going to be contributing to the majority of the time if they make this roster. So you know, I remember in the championship season of 2010, one of the preseason games, the back end of the roster just tore it up on special teams in a game against the Colts or the Titans. And I think it was the Colts. And they ended up having a good special teams. Yeah, I mean, those are the types of things that you know, I mean, everybody wants to see the starters do well, and they want to make sure that they've got their 22 preferred guys that line up on opening day. But it's the bottom of this roster that's going to determine how far this team gets, because football is a game of attrition. These guys are going to get hurt, and they're going to miss snaps, and some of them are going to miss games. You got to know that there's depth behind it, and that depth can handle the challenge that's put in front of them. So I'm also glad that the preseason's over and this is the final preseason game, because, you know, no more injuries. Put these guys in bubble wrap and just get them ready for Seattle, and let's effing go.
Amen to that. One more preseason game, and then we got the real stuff on September the 10th. Before that, September the 3rd at 2 o'clock Central Time, we have our regular season preview show. Again, we will go through all 16 Green Bay Packers games, pick how they will do in that game. We'll pick our Super Bowl winners, our NFC Championship game winners, obviously. Championship game Super Bowl winners, offensive players of the year, defensive player of the year, most valuable player, all that fun stuff will come Sunday, September the 3rd, so you know exactly who to wager your jelly beans against, because the teams I pick never seem to do very well in terms of their Super Bowl contention. But that is what we have on the docket for you this Sunday, and that will do it for today's version of Pulse of the Pack. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com and Cheesehead TV for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. I want to thank our sponsor, that is Ticket King. Grab your tickets. It's right down the street from the stadium. Grab your tickets, go in, and cheer on the Packers. They have a home game on Thursday, so if you want to buy tickets for Thursday's game, grab them from Ticket King. And like I said, I've done it. I've never had a problem with them, and I will be doing that for November the 6th against the Detroit Lions. So like I said, let me know. Stop by. Say hello. I will be more than happy to stop by your tailgate parties and chat. Anything of that sort, I am happy to do for you guys. You can follow the show on Twitter. It is at Packer Pulse. Send us your questions, comments, concerns, all that stuff for Sunday's regular season preview show. It should be a really good time, a really fun show. It's one of my favorite shows to do every single year because there's optimism abound, obviously. But thank you guys this week and all season long listening to Pulse of the Pack. We are 10 days away from real football. We are 13 days away from the Packers kicking off against the Seattle Seahawks, and I could not be more excited because I think I've mentioned it more than once. I don't like that team very much. So, great start to the season. Thank you to everybody for listening, and go Pack, go.
Of the Packs Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.